Hey, y'all. Happy Sunday.
We're past time and Jenny's already yelling at me.
Well, you know, you got a clock in the room, and it's like I have to come up and get you like every single time.
I was listening to Public Enemy.
Even though you know that's when the show starts. Keep your shit together.
I was listening to Public Enemy, and I had to get some root beer.
And then, yeah, and then like he'll sit here for 3 minutes, and then he'll be like, oh, wait, I have to go to the bathroom, or oh, wait, I have to go get a drink, and like shit. Like, I'm like, why do you leave everything until the last goddamn minute?
I'm a man.
It's like you had plenty of time. You've been back for like 45 minutes. You have plenty of time to get prepared.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I like to start things on time, you know? I'm just saying. All right, so today we are talking about Darkman. Now, the reason we're talking about this is because I got distracted from you yelling. Well, I'm used to her making a noise. It's okay. Like that's a lot less distracting.
That's
a lot less distracting than you yelling at her is. But yeah, so Shudder just added the whole Darkman trilogy a couple weeks back. So I had actually been wanting to do, we were going to do a movie retrospective. I put it in the poll, but I don't think it ever won. But then I was like, fuck it, I kind of want to watch it again. You had never seen him, right?
No, I've seen him.
Oh, I didn't think you'd seen them.
No, I'd seen them.
I saw the first one. I haven't seen the other two, but we're gonna do the other two as well because they have the whole trilogy.
I saw the first one many times. The other two, I don't remember that much. I remember that they weren't as good. I remember two being okay, but I remember fucking three not being that good. But we'll see.
Well, two and three were direct to video. Even though I have to say that Darkman, and this came out in 1990, it was pretty financially successful. It wasn't like a blockbuster, but I think it only cost like $14-15 million to make, and it made like $50 million. So, you know, it was successful enough that they made like two sequels to it, but both of the sequels went direct to video. I had seen the first one a couple of times, but I don't think that I've ever seen the sequels. So we're going to do Darkman today. Tomorrow we're going to do part two, and then Tuesday we're going to do part three because I wanted to watch the whole trilogy.
I liked Darkman. It was a artistic movie. Good story.
I mean, this is a transitional film for Sam Raimi because since this was 1990, he was just coming off still being kind of like an indie filmmaker, like all his Evil Dead stuff and everything like that. So this was kind of like his first big studio film, like working with a Hollywood studio. And what he had been trying to do for a really long time, he had been wanting to make Batman, or he was trying to get the rights to Batman or The Shadow, because he was real into like old comic books, and he couldn't secure the rights to those, which kind of pissed him off a little bit. And so he's like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to make my own superhero movie. So I'm going to invent my own original superhero. And he kind of wanted to base it on a lot of kind of like universal monster type stuff. You know, there's going to be like a little bit of Phantom of the Opera, Hunchback of Notre Dame, that kind of stuff, but then also kind of filtered through, you know, your regular like comic book type of story.
It's definitely a comic book movie.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's a great movie. I didn't realize it was Sam Raimi, but now that she mentioned it, me rewatching, I was like, oh yeah, there's a hell of a lot of fucking Evil Dead vibe.
Yeah, with some of the crazy, it's not as crazy as Evil Dead, like with all those wacky kind of like movements and stuff, but it does have a lot of that real fluid camera work that he would bring in, because he did Spider-Man later, obviously. Yeah. Like he was very successful, but
and the special effects are not realistic, but they're artistic. They're real artistic. Yeah. I like them. They're from the time. They've aged well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of the, and this kind of happens on every movie from this time period, but there's kind of the couple of, like, the matte shots and things like that, like green screen and stuff that don't really look that good. But like I said, it's not just this movie. Every movie from 1990 before that, like, that had green screen, like, it doesn't look that good because it looks kind of, like, washed out or whatever. So you have that in here a little bit, but I will say that, like, the makeup work on this is amazing. It's just, I don't know, this is just, like, a cool movie. It's just a fun movie because you have to think that it's maybe hard for people to that, you know, didn't grow up in this time period to understand, but it's like prior to this, you had comic book movies, but a lot of them weren't taken all that seriously. I mean, Tim Burton's Batman was kind of the first one that, you know, actually sort of took the character seriously or kind of made it more like the actual comic books were. So it was kind of like a new thing. And this one, I kind of feel like took it like a step farther, because this one's still like a fun movie and there's humor in it, but it's actually pretty dark and it's pretty gruesome. Like there's a lot of, it's very violent.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's R rated, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and fucking Dark Man himself is kind of like, he's a downer. I mean, that motherfucker's crazy. His face is fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, he can't help it. That's just like what happened to him. But
it drove him crazy.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It was, it was the process of them fixing him.
Right.
The fire
that he went through and everything. It's great. It's a great story. Yeah, I can see what you're talking about. It's a lot like Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Phantom of the Opera.
Well, that's what he was. I mean, he was really into, like I said, old Universal monster movies. Yeah. And he's like, he wanted to do something like that, but like a superhero.
He's a little bit like The Shadow, too.
Yeah, and that was one of the movies. That was one of the characters that he was trying to get. And remember, they made that movie of The Shadow, and I remember it really not being all that good. Wasn't one of the bald ones in that?
Yeah, The Shadow was had a great look.
Yeah, it was cool looking.
Yeah, it should have been a lot better than it was. But no, it looked great. It had a lot of really good ideas in it. I think the problem with The Shadow was the villain. The villain wasn't a compelling villain.
I'd have to see it again. It's been like years and years and years since I've seen it.
Yeah, it was Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan was the villain. And it didn't really work.
Yeah.
He needed a much better villain.
So, yeah. So this movie, originally, and I kind of wish that this had happened, but, you know, no shade on Liam Neeson for being the lead in this. But originally, Sam Raimi wanted his homie, Bruce Campbell, to play the lead. But the studio thought that Bruce Campbell wasn't famous enough or couldn't carry a whole film by himself, which, okay. But yeah, he did. Now, Bruce Campbell does have like a cameo at the very end. And he said, I was watching like a little clip of an interview with him earlier, and he said he did some of the voiceover work as well. He's like, you know, when they show this movie on TV and they have to like dub out the swearing, like with other words, he's like, so that's me. Like, you know what I mean? Like if somebody said shit or fuck or whatever and they just say, you know, crap or dang or something like that, he's like, that's my voice. But yeah, so he did that. So that's kind of a shame because I love Bruce Campbell, but you know. Now, Liam Neeson, I've forgotten how young he fucking was in this movie. This was kind of before he was, because now you say Liam Neeson and he's been like all in those like Star gritty Wars. Action movies action is movies, mostly what he's known for, like Taken and all that kind of stuff. And, but this was before that. He had kind of done a bunch of different sort of roles. So this was kind of his first action role. And he was actually kind of excited about doing it, like working in all the makeup and stuff, even though it took fucking forever to put on. But he'd never done anything like that before, so he like thought it was like kind of cool because it was like a challenge. And I will say that I really do like the makeup in this, particularly how it looks like the teeth or like the skull and it's like the outside. I think that looks really cool. But yeah, so the story of this is Liam Neeson is a scientist, and he's working on... He's making, like, synthetic skin, and it's for burn victims, which will really come in handy later on, like, considering what happens. So he's working on that, but he can't get it to, like, work quite right because—and he can't figure out why. He's like, well, I make a nose, and then after it's stable for, like, 99 minutes, and then it, like, starts to melt, which obviously would be a little bit embarrassing if that was your actual nose. So there's that. And he can't figure out, like, why that's happening. So there's that going on. Meanwhile, his girlfriend, who is an attorney, who's played by Frances McDormand, she has found evidence of some skullduggery, like, at one of the businesses that she's, kind of doing lawyering for or whatever. She found this memo that's, like, for bribes and all this other kind of shit. Now, she makes the perhaps unwise decision to go to the CEO or what the fuck ever of this company and say, hey, I found this memo that's about these bribes and maybe you want to look into this. And he's like, oh yeah, that, let's just pretend we never saw that. And then it turns out that the CEO of this company has this whole gang of thugs and hoodlums and assassins and whatnot that'll just go and kill anybody that gets in the way of this project that they're doing. So that's basically what happens. And that's how Darkman becomes Darkman, is that she actually, I guess did they live in the lab? Or I guess she was over at his house, like at the lab, and she left some of her shit over there, including this memo that all these thugs want to get hold of. And the scientist, Dr. Peyton, he doesn't have anything, or Dr. Westlake, Peyton's his first name, but he doesn't know anything about that. But the thugs come to his lab and are basically like, where's that memo? And he's like, what the fuck are you even talking about? I don't know what that is. That's my girlfriend shit. And they kill his assistant, which is horrible. And then they fuck his face all up. Like, they throw him into acid and they beat his ass and everything like that. And then they blow his shit up, the whole lab. Now he goes flying out the. I love that shot.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he's flying.
I love
the
shot.
It does.
It's amazing. I fucking love it. Like, cause it's. I love this because I really like the tone. Like I said, it's very violent, and it's very like it takes it seriously, but not so seriously that it's not still like a good time. Like, it still has over the top comic book elements, but not so much that it's ridiculous. I think it like strikes a really fine line between those two things.
It's not realism.
But
it is credible. That's the only way I can say it. You're like, we'll see. You go, oh, yeah, okay. Well, he goes flying out of that fucking fireball.
It's
obvious.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's obvious that it was fake, but you're not really sure what they did to fake it. It just looked cool. It looked cool. It looked real cool. But, no. It's a good movie. Some people were saying that, he remembers it. Who was it that was saying this? That the Phantom... And
the Shadow.
Hugo says that comic book films back when I remember the Shadow and the Phantom or something, they weren't that good.
And Dick Tracy.
Yeah, Dick Tracy.
I remember that being not that great.
The thing is, though, is if you go back and watch them, they weren't as bad as you remembered them. The standards were higher back then. Expectations were higher. The Phantom was actually pretty good. The Shadow was pretty good, too.
I kind of feel like they didn't really know what to do with comic book movies back then. I kind of feel like they were... Yeah. I don't think they were entirely taking them seriously. It's almost kind of like they were... They wanted to make them for kids, but then there was, like, fucked up shit in there that probably was not for kids. And it's like, I don't know. It's just... They seemed very... A lot of them seemed tonally strange. Like, they looked cool.
Yeah.
But I think they didn't really know, like, what balance to strike between taking it seriously or just making it, like, a ridiculous... farce of a movie. You know what I'm saying?
The Shadow did okay. I think it didn't really make its money back, but I think it did okay. I think that's... Well, maybe that's not really... I guess that's two separate things, isn't it? If it didn't make its money back, it didn't do okay.
Yeah, no.
I think maybe it made its money back. I remember it doing okay. I enjoyed it, though. There were certain aspects of it that were really good, but it just didn't quite deliver, and I think it had to do with the bad guy. It was a good idea. You got a guy who has psychic abilities, all right? He can make you think he disappeared. He can make you think he looked fucking more of a badass than he actually was. He can make you think you couldn't see him, but he was just this dude dressed up in this fucking badass 40s outfit with a couple of 45s, a couple of 1911s. And he was just kind of like Batman in a way, but a psychic. You could do a lot with that. And they had it. That was the right look. I'm not sure that was the... Maybe the bald one shouldn't have been... Maybe he shouldn't have been the Shadow. I don't know. But I think that would have worked, too. I think the problem was the villain.
Well, I haven't seen that movie in a long time, so
I remember the villain not being credible.
I just remember not liking it all that much.
I remember the villain being very cartoonish and not really all that recommend... not that... Now, the Phantom, on the other hand, I think that bombed. I saw that later on VHS and enjoyed it. I liked it. But I got to see that one again, too. It's just... This era of the 90s, comic book movies were coming in, and I'm not sure they exactly knew how to do them.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying.
They still don't really know how to do them. They still fuck them up.
Well, at least they take them, like I said, take them more seriously nowadays as, like, you know, an epic mythology, and they're not, like, just making jokes about it.
Joker was great. Fucking evidently this last Batman, this last Spider-Man was supposed to be great. I didn't see it. But they said it was fun. And this new Batman, I've heard mixed things. All in all, they say the new Batman is acceptable. But we'll see.
Grantham's Hammer says, true story, in 1990, Grantham worked at, he's referring to himself in the third person now on, yeah, which it makes me laugh every single time. Grantham worked at a summer camp in Ontario, Canada. After the campers left for the season, Sam Raimi came to visit and gave Grantham a fifth of Crown Royal upon arrival.
Damn.
What a nice man.
Yes.
Sam Raimi always seemed like pretty fun, you know what I mean? Slasher Fred then says, Frances McDormand, who played Peyton's girlfriend, later played the sheriff in the movie Fargo. And actually, I think I said this to you last night. We were watching it when, you know, because I had forgotten she was in it. And I was just like, oh, man, this makes me want to watch Fargo again because I fucking love that movie. Grantham's Hammer also said Larry Drake, who plays Robert Durant in this, one of the villains, was later in Dr. Giggles, which is probably what he's best known as, which is crazy because
see it again.
Prior to this, because he looking at him in Darkman and looking at him in Dr. Giggles and stuff, he looks like a bad guy.
Yeah.
But prior to this, I had forgotten he was on L.A. Law, and he usually played like good guys. Mm-hmm. And so I think this might have been his first villain role. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But it's just, like, funny because when you look at his face, you're like, oh, yeah, that dude's, like, could totally typecast as villains. But he wasn't. This was, like, his first bad guy
role. I got to see Dr. Giggles again.
I haven't seen that for a long time either.
I remember liking it.
And that was another... Yeah, I remember liking it, too. And that was, like, another one that I kind of wanted to rewatch. But, yeah. He's, like, a gangster in this. He's kind of, like, a... like an assassin for hire, essentially. Yeah. Like, he's, like, the muscle. And he has, like, a gang of people that go... And he has a thing where he snaps people's fingers off with his, like, cigar cutter doohickey. Yeah. Which is pretty fucked up. And he keeps them. Like, he has a collection in a very nice, like, wooden box. Like, he opens it at some point and there's all these severed fingers in there.
All the gangster characters are good in this. Remember the heavyset bald dude with the fucking tattoo on his head they threw out the window? I remembered him since back in those days.
Yeah, that's right.
All the
with a little dagger tattoo on his head.
And the Chinese mob boss, okay, you win. Remember that guy?
I remember all the restaurant.
Yeah, there's some good iconic gangster characters in this. This is a great movie. This is a great movie.
I had a really good time rewatching this. But yeah, so where was I in the plot? Okay, so so he gets blown out the window. That's where we got distracted. He gets blown out the window, and then obviously everybody thinks he's dead because they said all they found was an ear. But then meanwhile, they find this dude in the river who doesn't have any ID, and it's him, obviously. But, you know, since he didn't have any ID, he came in as a John Doe. And so they bring him into the hospital, and they do this experimental shit on him for burn victims, and also a cameo in there by Jenny Agutter, who plays the doctor. She's like in one scene, and she's like talking about the procedure that they're doing on him, which is experimental. And she's saying, basically what they're doing is they're cutting all the nerves so he doesn't feel any pain, which seems good, but sometimes probably not so good. But they're doing that so he doesn't have all the pain from the burns. And they said, but one of the side effects of this experimental treatment is that his emotions are heightened, particularly anger. So he's like, and it makes him kind of like super strong. Like not, it's not like Hulk. He doesn't like Hulk out or anything, but it does make him like stronger than a regular person. And he has a tendency to like go into rages, which he does at some point. So he basically goes back and finds another lab and kind of cobbles together a new lab. Looks very much like Frankenstein's, Mad Lab, and I love it. I love the set design that they did in there, like an old warehouse. And he is able to put together like all his lab again and start making the skin. And so he can only, so the skin like destabilizes after 99 minutes if you go out in the sun. Like if you're in the dark, it'll be okay. Like it'll still be stable. But as soon as you go in the light, it's photosensitive. Actually, I think it's not just sun. It's any kind of light. Then it'll start melting off your face. But what he starts to do is to get revenge on all the gangsters that, like, killed him or, you know, whatever, and killed his assistant. He decides he's going to start making replicas of their faces, and then he's going to go fuck up their shit. So that's kind of, like, where the original idea, I think, that Sam Raimi had. He wrote a short story that was called The Dark Man. Right. And he's like, I liked the idea of a guy who could just, like, take other people's, like, make other people's faces and put faces on himself, and then he could let go and cause chaos in that kind of situation.
In essence, this allows him to be a doppelganger.
Yes.
That's really what
it
is. And it allows him to make other people doppelgangers, because he could put somebody's face on somebody else. He does that, too.
Yeah, he does that at one point, too. Right, which there's, like, layers of, like, faces on there.
To make one enemy look like another enemy and send him out there. So he does have special abilities.
Yeah, it's just kind of a thing. And I like, too, that this kind of has the love story at the heart of it. I like that it's in there, but it's not, like, overdone. And it's kind of like tragic because of the way he's sort of fucked up. Like he has like skin, like masks of his actual face that he made like from photos. So he can put them on sometimes, but they kind of melt off if he gets any light on them after a little while. So most of the time he's just kind of like walking around with like, you know, bandages over, so like the Invisible Man. And there's kind of a thing too where his girlfriend is actually, she says, oh, I'll love you no matter what you look like, but he's kind of like doubtful about that. And he's like, and also I have this fucking ragey shit going on. And he's like, and I'm basically like turning into a monster, and he doesn't want to expose her to that. So basically he's just like, I have to go and be. So he just, you know, he kind of wanders off into the sunset looking like Bruce Campbell at the very end because he doesn't want her to get hurt by being in proximity to him. Because there's a thing at the end where when he fights the main like CEO, the shithead guy that owns the company, and they're up on this like tall like steel thing of a building. And so they're fighting, and he's like gonna drop the guy off, and the guy's like, you're too nice a guy. No, he doesn't say that, but he's like, you know, you can't do it, you don't have the balls to like drop me off, and then, you know, you wouldn't be able to live with yourself. And he's just like, bye. You know what I mean? Which, like I said, you know, you could make an argument that it's like, yeah, that's turned you as monstrous as like the bad guys, but it's like the bad guys were pricks. That guy was a complete prick. They were doing illegal shit. They had it coming. I really don't think that's like the same thing at all. It's not like he's killing innocent women and children or anything like that. He's killing bad guys. So I don't know. I'm not bothered by it. But anyway, so I don't know like where, I haven't seen the second one or the third one, so I don't know where it's going to go from that. The second one is called, I think it's called The Return of Robert Durant. And I'm like, well, that would be quite a trick, him returning, because he got blowed up in a helicopter real good, like at the end of this, but like helicopter fucking hit. And honestly, that sequence,
pretty good,
where it was, I don't know if it was Liam Neeson or the stuntman, I'm sure it was probably a stuntman, hanging from that fucking helicopter, and they're like slinging that fucking, he's like hanging from a hook, and he's like slinging all around the fucking building and stuff. And most of that did not, absolutely not look fake.
Yeah.
And then
they went through, they're dragging the helicopter from the back of the truck.
Yeah.
In the back, it looked good.
I mean, that was a really good fucking stunt.
Yeah.
And then they crash the helicopter into, and like I said, if I don't know if that was real, if they did it with miniatures.
Miniatures, I think.
It was probably miniatures, but if it was, it looked really good.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, a lot of the shots where they were flying the helicopter around and that guy was hanging off there, a lot of that looked real. If it was fake or green screen, it didn't look like it. So I'm not really sure. But yeah, that was like a really, really good sequence. But I don't see how Robert Durant could come back after that. I guess we'll figure it out like in the second one.
They'll find a way
to bring him back.
I don't think Liam Neeson is in part
No,
two.
He didn't come back. Well, because at that point, after he did Darkman, he kind of, then he went on to do like Schindler's List and stuff, and he was like nominated for Oscars and stuff, and he's not going to do a directed DVD horror movie or like action movie, I guess. He was like busy doing important stuff. So you know what I mean? So it's, you know, no shade, like I said. But yeah, so yeah, I had not seen this movie for many, many years, and so I was kind of excited to rewatch it. It's like, and I, for a second, I had forgotten that it was a Sam Raimi film, and then I was just like, oh yeah, that's right. And I don't know, I just like, I see, it just goes to show that you don't have to make, you know, he wanted to make a superhero movie. He couldn't get the rights to the superhero movies that he wanted to do, so he said, fuck it, I'm just going to make my own superhero. Make up your own superhero. And then he made a movie about it, and and it worked.
Yeah, you could actually probably, the Darkman franchise could probably be revived, actually. You could make more movies based on this.
You could. They did a comic book series. They've done, toy figures and stuff like that. They actually did a TV pilot. But the show didn't get picked up. That was a while back. So it is still, I think it has enough of a cult following, and Sam Raimi has enough of a name that I think they could probably do something with it if it was done well.
And it would probably have to be done by Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
I don't know if Sam Raimi would still be interested in returning to the franchise. I mean, it is his character and it is his story.
He can make it the right tone.
But
yeah,
I think that's what really works with this one. It's like, well, you got good actors in it, and you know, and it's a good story. Like I said, it's got fun elements in it, and it's got kind of that fun, a little bit of that crazy kind of like Sam Raimi like energy in it. and the crazy visuals a little bit, but it's still sort of grounded in reality, and it's still, like, pretty violent and pretty gruesome. Like, the makeup was kind of gruesome, and, like, some of the people getting killed was kind of gruesome.
Yeah.
So I thought it was, like, a good... I don't know. It was just, like, a really good tone, I thought.
The Dark Man property kind of always reminded me of the RoboCop property. I would say they were about just as great. The first movies being the best. I don't remember too much about the second Dark Man. I remember it being okay. I don't remember the third one at all.
Yeah, I don't think I saw the second one or the third one. Yeah, but we're going to watch those tonight.
But the first Dark Man 1 was, I would say, as great as RoboCop 1. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, it's a totally different kind of movie.
Totally. But I'm talking about in terms of greatness.
Yeah.
Because it's around the same era. RoboCop was first, but it was still the era of practical effects and still the era of a movie needed good writing. And that a movie needed really good editing. And when I was watching Dark Man, when I saw Dark Man when it came out, at the end of it, I was impressed. I was like, yeah. And it kind of, I thought it was as good as RoboCop 1. You know.
Yeah, that's quite a recommendation.
Yeah.
Coming from Tom.
Yeah, thought it was as good as RoboCop.
Hugo the Monster says, face swapping is some Mission Impossible shit. Yeah, that's right. And it says, the advantage of Darkman is that he can be any actor. Yeah, see, that's what I mean, because he could have just made a face, because his face was all fucked up at the beginning, so it's like he could just keep making new faces, you know what I mean? Grantham's Hammer then says, Sam Raimi later made a great movie called A Simple Plan. That is indeed a great movie. It's actually based on a novel by Scott Smith, who also wrote The Ruins. The book is also fantastic, and the movie was very, very good. I had forgotten that Sam Raimi had made that as well, and that's another one that I have to rewatch because it's been a long time since I watched that. Then Granther said, Liam says he hates his performance in Schindler's List. Granther thinks it's one of the best ever in all of filmdom.
I wonder why.
Yeah, that's well, you know how people are, like, actors, creative people, any kind of people. They're just kind of like... Oh, well, yeah, you're overcritical of your own shit. I mean, most of the time. Honestly, I kind of think you should be because that makes you be better at stuff. Anybody that's just like cocky and everything I do is amazing is not going to be any good usually. But yeah, so there's that. I haven't seen Schindler's List in a long time either, but I remember like really, really, I mean, that's a pretty like devastating and awesome movie. I think I saw that in the theater now that I'm thinking about it. This one, Darkman, I don't think I saw it in the theater. I very well might have, because this was right around the time period when I was going and seeing a bunch of shit at, like, the crappy, stinky dollar theater.
Yeah.
Like, for cheap entertainment. So I very well could have, but I don't remember. I think I might have seen it on cable, like, afterward, or I might have rented it, like, a year or two later. And I remember liking it, but then I sort of forgot about it after a while. But I've kind of, like, revisited it every now and then, like, over the years. And... watching it last night, I was like, oh, man, I forgot how much I liked this movie, you know?
Good play.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, I guess it has a cult following. People still talk, like, Oliver Harper did a show about it. There's a couple other horror channels that did kind of long breakdowns of it. So it does have its fans. But, yeah, so because Shudder had added all three of them, I decided, well, let's just do all three of the movies. Actually, you said, let's do all three of the movies. That'll cover all 3 days this week of the movie reviews. So... you know, so we watched Darkman last night. Tonight we're going to watch part two, and we'll talk about that one tomorrow, and then we'll talk about the third one on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, speaking of Phantom of the Opera, that was the topic that won for the main episode show, which we're very excited about, because it was Tom's idea, and when he was talking about it, I said, oh, that sounds like a great fucking idea for a show. Let's put that in the poll, and I was very happy. It won by quite a large margin. So, yeah, so that's what we're going to do, like, the regular episode on as well. So it's like a whole Phantom of the Opera week, I guess, kind of. So that's kind of neat. You have anything else that you need to discuss?
Nope.
Nope. All right. So, yeah, so thanks, everybody, for dropping by today. And have a good rest of your weekend. And we will see you guys again tomorrow evening talking about Darkman 2. And, have a good Sunday. Bye.